What does it mean that Jesus abolished death when he came? Death goes on. People experience death. What does it mean that he abolished death? There's a special meaning to that word.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is a message worth suffering for. The attitude of the Christian messenger, verse 8. Be not ashamed of Christ's person, people, or proclamation. But now the attributes of the Christian message. And there are several characteristics of this great message we call the gospel presented in this passage that reveal the unutterable value of the gospel. Perhaps you would want to notice them with me here in verses 9 and 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. What kind of a message is the message of the gospel? Paul says, first of all, it is a message of power. In fact, the last phrase of verse 8 seems to imply that. He says there in verse 8 that we should be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The gospel is, secondly, if you notice there in verse 9, it's a message of salvation. He says, he speaks of the God who hath saved us. It's also a message of salvation. And then Paul says it's something else. Do you notice there in verse 9? It's not only a message of power and of salvation, it is a message of consecration. The Bible says that he has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Verse 9. It is a message of consecration. The gospel is not simply a summons or a message of rescue from the consequences of past sins. It is a summons to walk in the way of holiness here and now. It is a message of consecration. It means that the kind of Christianity that does not change people is no Christianity at all. It is an unreal variety of Christianity. It is not true, as many modern evangelists want us to believe, either by their example or the vocalists they have on their platforms or by what they actually preach. It is not true, as many modern evangelists would have us to believe, that you can have all of this and Jesus too. It isn't true. The message of the gospel is not just a call to rescue. It is a summons to holiness. It means that a man who has known the saving power of the gospel is changed. Now, let me tell you how he's changed. He is changed down on the inside immediately. An act of spiritual vitality and power takes place when he receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. His dead human spirit is impregnated with the life of the Holy Spirit. He is changed down on the inside immediately. He is changed up on the outside progressively as he matures and grows in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if there is no change, his Christianity is unreal. Any man who has known the saving power of the gospel, he will be changed in his business. He will be changed in his pleasure. He will be changed in his home. He will be changed in his character. His very lifestyle will carry into it an essential difference. There is always that difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. Because the Christian is the man who has obeyed the summons to come to Christ for salvation and to live out his life in a context of holy consecration. And then there's a fourth thing here. It's not only a message of power. It's not only a message of salvation. It's not only a message of consecration. It's a message of purpose. He called us, the Bible says, according to his own purpose. It means that God purposed in eternity past, before the world began, to save sinners. If we would trace the river of salvation back to its ultimate source, we must look right back beyond time into the eternal council room of God. That purpose, which was framed in eternity before the world began, is now being carried out in the sphere of time due to the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. And any man who wishes to share in that purpose, any man who wishes to have God's purpose fulfilled in his life need only come in humble faith, so to speak, in his mind's eye to the foot of the cross and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And God's purposes will be fulfilled in his life, and he will bring purpose and meaning down into his everyday experience. It's a message of purpose. I thank God for that sense of purpose, that sense of meaning that God has given to me since I came to Christ and received Him as my Savior. And then it's beyond that. I've got to hurry now. It's a message of grace. The Bible says that He saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace. The gospel message is all of these things. It is a message of grace. What is grace? Grace is the word which describes a gift freely given. The gospel is good news. What kind of good news is it? The gospel is the good news that mankind is not saddled with the impossible task of earning God's love. We could never earn it. We could never merit it. We could never perform enough good works to say, now, God, I deserve your love. Now, God, I deserve your heaven. It's impossible for us to do that. The gospel is the message that this love of God, which we could never earn, which we could never deserve or merit, is freely bestowed upon all who will receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. In other words, salvation is not something we achieve. It's something we accept. God did not call us to Himself because we are holy. He called us to Himself in order to make us holy. If we had to deserve the love of God, our situation would be a helpless and a hopeless situation. The gospel is the free gift of God. He does not love us because we deserve His love. He loves us out of the sheer generosity of His heart. That is the message of grace. The gospel is a message of grace. Now that says something to two classes of people. It says something, one, to the do-gooder, and it says something, two, to the down-and-outer. Now what does it say to the do-gooder? The gospel is a message of grace. Salvation is a free gift of God that cannot be merited. You know who the do-gooder is? The do-gooder is the man who believes he's done so much good that he doesn't need to be saved. The down-and-outer is the man who believes he's done so much evil that he cannot be saved. God has a message for both of them. God says to the do-gooder, the man who believes he's done so much good that he does not need to be saved, God says to him that salvation is not according to works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. He says you need to be saved just like everybody else. No good work will save you. And then God has a word in His message of grace, His gospel of grace, to the down and outer. The man who believes he's done so much evil, he cannot be saved. To him God says that salvation is according to His grace. He's saying you can too be saved. He's saying that no evil work can eliminate you from heaven. God's grace is so efficacious and so powerful. The atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross is so pleasing in the eyes of God that any man, no matter what his offenses, who will humble himself before this Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior, can be fully forgiven and fully cleansed due to the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that that grace is given to us in Christ Jesus. Quickly, now let me say this. The gospel is all of these things, and it's something else. It's a message of life and immortality. He says that in verse 10. It is a message of life and immortality. Jesus Christ abolished death, and He brought life and immortality to light. You know, death is the one word which summarizes the human predicament. Every time we experience physical death, it is a grim reminder of the awful consequences of the deed of our theological Benedict Arnold, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, when he betrayed the whole human race into this consummate judgment of God that we call death. Death is the one word which summarizes our human predicament as a result of sin. It is the wage that sin pays. It is the grim penalty that sin provides. Wherever sin prevails, that's where death prevails. You know, in the ancient world and in the modern world, death is something that is sorely feared. It is, in fact, the great unmentionable of our culture. We don't even like to talk about it. It is an unutterable concept. But it took only the coming of Jesus to change all of that for Christians. It is the message of the gospel that when Jesus came, He abolished death. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus abolished death when He came? Death goes on. People experience death. What does it mean that He abolished death? There's a special meaning to that word, katergeo, the Greek word. It means to render inoperative. It means to condemn to inactivity. It means to put out of use. It means to eviscerate or empty of power. So far as the Christian is concerned, Paul says, death is like a scorpion whose sting has been removed. The sting of death is sin, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:56. And Jesus Christ died for sins on the cross of Calvary. The sting has been removed. The atoning death of Christ on Calvary has broken the power of death over all who will take refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that now, instead of death, life and immortality are the key words in the Christian's vocabulary. Life for the here and now with a capital L. Life that is abundant. Life that is eternal. The very life of God shared with those who will receive Christ as their Savior. Life here and now and immortality in the hereafter. Those are the key words in the Christian's vocabulary. In fact, Paul says they've been made to shine. He's brought them to light. Photidzo, photograph. Photidzo, he's made them to shine. The scripture says, death so far from separating men from God is that which brings men into the nearer presence of God. For the Christian, death is never the abyss of nothingness as it is for modern man. For the Christian, it is the gateway on the skyline, the very medium of access into the presence of God. I must hurry now and just say one last point. The gospel message is all of these things, and finally, it's a message of Jesus Christ. All of this was made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, verse 10. The Christian message, the gospel message, was fully displayed through the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without that appearance, without his coming, there would have been no message at all. You know, that word appearance is a very special word. The Greek word is epiphania. It means bright. It means majestic. It means glorious. It means to be splendid. It was used in the ancient world, and Paul knew this, and the Spirit of God led him to use that word on this basis. It was used in the ancient world of a saving appearance of a God or a rescuing intervention into the affairs of humanity. That's exactly what we have in the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a saving intervention, a rescuing intervention, a powerful and beneficent intervention of God into the affairs of humanity. The gospel is first and foremost a message about Jesus Christ, who he was. He was the Son of God, and he was God the Son. And what he did, he laid down his life for us, his sinless life, his substitutionary death, his substantiating resurrection. That's what the message of the gospel is all about, the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and any man who will come to that Christ in this day and age and understand and believe these powerful attributes of the message of the gospel, and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who is the personification of that message, at the very core and heart of that message, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Any man who will do that can experience the mighty power and blessing of God in his life. The attributes of this message are sevenfold. It's a message of power. It's a message of salvation. It's a message of consecration, holiness. It's a message of purpose. It's a message of grace, not according to our works, but according to his grace. It's a message of life and immortality, conquering the great unmentionable, death. It's a message about Jesus Christ, who in his rescuing intervention 2,000 years ago has laid the groundwork for meeting all of our needs.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The Christian is the man. The Christian is the woman who is always bringing the message of the King to his contemporaries.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.